his eyelashes.
As cold as a gaudy slut's soul out there.
Trader was grinning like a fox in the henhouse.
Ryan's just agreed to spend some time in the Ville.
For a day or so. You want some bacon and grits?
Sure. Then we'll all go out into the smallest of the barns.
Why? What'd you find out there? A gas wag?
JB took off his glasses, wiping away the smears of melting snow, and smiled.
No, just wait and see.
Well, I'll be.
JB had thrown back the door with a gesture like a traveling magician, revealing that his lovely assistant had mysteriously vanished.
Been locked in here for the best part of 100 years.
That is something.
Abe was rubbing his hands together, his mouth slightly open because of his cold.
Yeah, but what the fuck use is that to us? Tell me that.
We can carry plenty of supplies in it. Better than pack animals. And it's big enough for all of us to sleep in at night. Better than no shelter at all.
JB turned to Ryan and Trader.
Well, now you've seen the death wag. What do you reckon we do?
It was a hearse. Not just any old hearse, but a beautiful Victorian horse-drawn vehicle. It was covered in dust and bits of windblown straw, but they could all see its amazing state of preservation.
They're perfect. Got a full set of harness on the wall yonder.
The woodwork was ebony, the sides and back made from fine etched glass. It was ornamented all around the top with carved plumes and tiny turrets and crenellations. The large wheels were also painted black, with a fine line of crimson around the rim and along each of the hand-turned spokes. The four friends moved in out of the wind, Abe pulling the door partly shut. But even in the poor light, it was impossible to miss the quality of the rig.
Take a team of four to pull it, plus another four saddle horses and a couple of pack animals. They're all out there waiting for us. Could get them hitched up and be on the road in an hour or less.
Abe rubbed his sleeve over the glass, shading his eyes against the reflection from the doorway, and peered inside.
Hey, Ryan, JB, come here. There's a coffin in there.
Real pretty one, too. Brass handles and nice workmanship.
I didn't see that. Yeah, that is nice, isn't it?
Put in a blanket or two and I could travel in that.
Trader tried the catch on the rear, which opened as easily as if it had only been closed an hour before.
Yeah. Keep out the chilly winds. Abe, climb in and take a look. See if it's going to be big enough for me.
Sure, Trader.
The little gunner hopped up, sliding inside the hearse alongside the coffin. Ryan realized that the wag was amazingly roomy. Abe was able to crawl along on hands and knees with no risk of bumping his head on the high roof. Ryan thought it wasn't a bad idea to take the rig along with them.
Get that little box of pine out of there, and it's plenty big enough for us to bundle into.
All three men swung around.
It's nothing. Get a move on, Abe. You're too slow to catch a funeral.
I gotta get the lid up.
JB crouched, checking the springs and suspension of the hearse.
Looks in great shape. No worm in the wood anywhere, and the axles are all greased. I reckon we should give her a try.
Never rode a death wag before. Still, first time for everything.
Abe fell awkwardly out of the rear door, twisting his knee as he landed. His face was as pale as a sun-bleached bone, and there was a small dark patch of damp at his crotch.
In there, there's someone there inside. Someone, a woman, I think, inside.
Trader grabbed at his shoulder, shaking the ex-gunner like a terrier with a rat.
Cool down, Abe. Is it someone living?
No. I don't think so.
Well, I'll take a look.
Ryan thought about drawing the Sig Sauer, but kept it holstered. Just in case of trouble, he unsheathed the 18-inch steel blade of his Panga, then clambered inside the hearse, feeling it rock on the soft springs. Ryan was aware of a strange, musty smell, like pepper and dog piss, salt and sugar. The lid of the coffin had dropped back in place when Abe let it fall in his panic. Ryan positioned himself on hands and knees, feeling a passing shudder of something very close to fear. He held the Panga tightly in his right hand and pushed back the lid of the coffin with his left.
Oh, fire blast.
Ryan's breath misted the polish on the coffin lid. The smell was much stronger here, like a spice box that had been hidden at the back of a dark larder. This was almost certainly a woman, most likely the mother of the boys that they'd killed down the trail. The lustrous silvery hair clinging to the grinning skull was a good clue, as was the long black organdy dress with a high collar of stained yellowed lace and the narrow golden ring on the shrunken bones of the left hand, folded across the flat bosom. The eyes had long gone, and the skin was leathery and brown, stretched so tight across the planes of the skull, with the sharp-edged cheekbones had sliced through.
Chilled woman, all right. Stopped breathing a good while ago.
Well, don't just stand there, men. Let's get the box out and the corpse with it. We'll dump him in the corner and then start bringing in some food and blankets from the house. You harness up the team, JB, and look for saddles and packs. It'd be good to be on the road for Seattle within the next couple of hours or so. Come on, let's move it!
As they rolled the hearse out of the barn, Ryan's eye was caught by the discarded body of the woman, lying in a dusty corner where Trader had thrown it. It now lay like a bunch of broken sticks wrapped in rags. Trader had never shown much respect for corpses, unless they belonged to his crew. His people. Ryan had seen a firefight against half the sec force of a powerful villain, the Shens, where Trader had insisted on recovering the corpses of a young comnav and a cook from Warwag 2 who'd accidentally triggered an ambush, just so they could be buried properly. The 2 hours had already stretched to 3. All of the friends were reasonably familiar with horses, but the rigging of the ancient hearse was unusually complicated. It wasn't like putting an ordinary pair of animals into the shafts of a wag. There was an inordinate amount of tangled, pliable harness, chrome, and brass trimmings. They had several false starts, with a team of 4 matched black horses that were skittish and uneasy with the sweating, cursing strangers. Abe had bustled in and out of the house, pausing only to clean his pants. He carried out blankets and loaded them into the gaping space in the rear of the empty hearse. Then came cans of food and canteens of water, boxes of spare ammo and fruit and eggs. All was packed away. Trader stamped around, getting in everyone's path, and doing precious little of the fetching and carrying himself. Ryan and JB weren't at all surprised at this. It had always been the old man's way. It was around noon, with a sun that hadn't chosen to show its face at all, that they were more or less ready to roll. JB had volunteered to drive the loaded hearse, while the other 3 rode along, leading the pair of placid pack animals and the spare saddle horse.
You best fire the place first.
Why? Not doing any harm.
It'll keep the posse off our trail.
What posse?
Trader gestured to Abe with his armalite.
He said the same when that young stoop in the bar got himself chilled. Abe said there wouldn't be a posse after us.
Abe opened his mouth as though he were going to protest, then closed it again.
Those boys and their pa could have kin. Less clues we leave behind, the better. The locals will likely think it was wolf's heads or Injuns.
There was a kind of sense in what Trader was saying. Ryan shrugged.
All right, I'll fire it.
There were several earthenware pots of lamp oil stored in a closet off the kitchen. Ryan took them and sprinkled it liberally all over the first floor of the house, smashing the last 2 containers in the front hall.
Why am I doing this? It's a bastard nice place. Why destroy it?
But he was already finding that the old ingrained habits died hard. It wasn't quite so cold, the wind having eased down, meaning that some of the lying snow was just beginning to thaw. The hearse handled easily once they got it onto the blacktop toward the dark ruins of Seattle. Ryan reined in his horse on top of the first ridge and stood in the stirrups, peering back to the column of thick black smoke that was soaring skyward behind them. He'd only met up with Trader again for a few hours, and already he tasted the familiar flavors of blood and fire. A warmer, moist wind blew in across the land from the distant, fog-shrouded side of Puget Sound. It was very late afternoon as the 4 friends stood and looked out across old Seattle. Behind them, the horses were cropping eagerly on a patch of cleared grass. They'd made remarkably good time along the narrow, twisting highway, not seeing another living soul until about an hour back, when they passed 3 separate wags of travelers. The driver of the first vehicle, a beat-up truck of dubious parentage and unguessable pedigree, looked at them and smiled.
Where's the fucking funeral?
None of the 4 friends bothered to answer. The second wag was horse-drawn, loaded high with rusting scrap iron. 2 brothers sat side by side on the driver's seat, looking like they couldn't have